G'day, and welcome back to the Hallway Track podcast, the show that aims to please and pleases to aim. My name is Mitchell Davis, and I've got a really interesting and hopefully inspiring episode for you today. I spoke with Michael Dorinda, the organiser of Laracon Australia and 50 other things, about what makes a good conference talk. We discussed finding a topic, how to pitch it to a conference, tips for first-timers, and we go back and forth on some of my own speaking ambitions. I came away from this conversation feeling inspired, and I'm really hoping I get selected to speak at Laracon Australia this year, where I want to talk about building mobile apps for Laravel developers. If that's the type of thing that interests you, do me a favour and follow me on Twitter. I'm Mitch Dav, and there's a link in the show notes. I'm just embarking on getting the good word out there about app development in the Laravel space, and it'd mean the world to me if you'll join me for the ride. I hope you enjoyed this episode today, and if it inspires you to submit your own talk, let me know. Cheers. Michael, could you introduce yourself for me, please?
Yes, hello. I am Michael Dorinda. For those of you who don't know me, I've been part of the Laravel community since 2012. And I guess publicly so since 2014. So I'm a software developer by day, working in Laravel day to day. I also run or co-host the Laravel News podcast, the North Mid South podcast, the Ripples podcast. I run the Laracon AU conference, and just generally, depending on who you ask, I'm a pest on Twitter. So.
You're an overachiever.
That's me. That's me in a nutshell. Overachiever. Tell me about it.
You got too much going on. Plus, you have a family, kids. Yeah, it's all going on for you.
Yes.
Look, today we're going to talk about what makes a good conference talk. So, specifically with the context of you running Laracon Australia, at the time of recording, and if I'm a good editor, at the time of release, later today, there will be, I think there's 1 week to go until submissions close for Laracon. Awesome. So I'm going to pick your brain on what makes a good talk. Let's get started by saying, why should people submit talks to conferences? What are some of the benefits? Why would you do it?
So there are some obvious benefits to submitting to conferences, and this is going to vary depending on which conference you submit to. I know that Laracon US, Laracon EU, I know obviously that Laracon AU, we will reimburse speakers to fly, we put them in hotels, we make that a really good and supportive experience, and something that I as an organizer in the specific for Laracon AU now try and do is to make the speaking experience really welcoming, really approachable, and kind of a shared experience among the speakers. So, you know, lots of people out there are shopping their talks around to different conferences. It's blunt to say, but lots of people are using it as a way to travel and see the world at, you know, not at someone else's expense. I totally get that. You know, we are offering it. So I'm not blind to the fact that some people are wanting to do that. But what we try and do is to make each year's cohort of speakers have the opportunity to become a group of friends, which I think makes for a really good experience for attendees. But also it kind of makes things a little bit easier for the speakers. You know, there's seasoned, experienced speakers on any conference panel. There is first-timers in a lot of cases, people that are new to the community. We try and bring people in from outside the Laravel community that have interesting things to say. And so, you know, we try and make that an enjoyable experience and a stress-free experience for those speakers. So, you know, as much as what people see as attendees of a conference, the work that goes into putting those things in, there's like as much of my time goes into making sure that the speakers are supported as well. And this, from what I've heard from some of the more experienced speakers, it's not like a common thing. Not every conference is going out of the way. There, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things on conference organizers' plates. But, you know, we try and really make that an enjoyable experience, you know, in terms of flights and accommodation and communicating. Like communication is the key. Speakers come to a conference to give a talk, to communicate with the audience? Well, I'm communicating with those speakers from when they submit to when we invite them to, like, all the way up. We had a Telegram group last year, you know, a month or two before the conference, which, you know, proved really valuable. Those speakers got to hang out. They got to talk to each other. Those that were in Brisbane, I know, got to shop their talks to each other to get feedback and things like that. So it's a unique experience for people to speak at a conference, but it is also a shared experience.
Okay, it's me in the edit here. At this point, my internet disconnected me from the call. So this next little part you'll hear is us readjusting Michael finishing his thoughts on why you should put yourself out there and why you would want to speak at a conference. Oh my God, what the hell? I'm so sorry, I don't know what happened.
That's right, I stopped. I had finished my thoughts. I think you caught all of it.
Yeah, well, that was, what a fantastic answer. You covered so much stuff. I missed the end of it. I had a great reply for you. But anyway,
it's all right.
You've definitely covered all the benefits there. That was impressive.
Yeah, getting up on the stage and speaking and that is like, that is really the finish line of the experience. And depending on, like, some people only submit to one conference a year. Some people only submit to Laracon AU, or some people only submit to NDC, or some people shop around to heaps of conferences, you know. Some people that have more general PHP talks will submit to, you know, Dutch PHP and Laracon, and, you know, PHP Tech just happened late last month. And so depending on what kind of your talk is, you know what, you might shop it around. But some people put all their eggs in the Laracon basket and they go 100% for that. So it depends on what you want to get out of speaking, really. But it's an excellent thing as well for first timers or people just, you know, not only first time speakers, but people that are new to what they're learning. Like, it's a great experience for them to really share what they're in the moment for, what they're learning right now, where they're most passionate about it, where they're most familiar with that subject. And so that often people think, oh, I'm not going to speak because I'm not an expert in this. That's not, you know, everyone up there is not necessarily there to be an expert in what they're talking about. They're there to share their perspective of what they're talking about. I think that's a key mind shift that you want to be in as a speaker. Mm-hmm. It's, I'm sharing my experience of this thing. It's not there to say that this is the way. That is the, there are certain topics, of course, that, like, there is definitive answers. But in software dev, there's just many different ways to do the same thing. And your perspective, your experience may be the thing that resonates with someone in the audience in a way that it hasn't previously. They might have heard about something 10 times, but it could be your perspective that helps them really get it.
Yeah, 100%. Well said. Let's talk about some of the different types of talks that a speaker can give. So there are technical talks, there are soft talks, and that's kind of a pretty varied definition. Maybe I can get your definition of that. But are there any other types of talks that you've seen that people could submit?
I think those broadly, especially in, like, the perspective of Laracon, are the two types of talks. There is, like, a third category, which you could kind of say is the more businessy type of things, where you're coming and talking about how to run a SaaS, how to run a business. It's always a delicate thing because you've got all of these people over here, that, you know, companies, employers that are sending their people to learn about Laravel. And there's always the, you know, from my perspective, we've got to balance that. We can't have too much of that. But, like, Laracon is such a cross-sectional framework that it, you know, it covers bootstrappers, it covers Fortune 500s, it covers, you know, someone that is an accountant aspiring to, you know, not be an accountant, to be a programmer. You know, there's so many perspectives and so many uses for and of the framework that you have a lot to cover. And so, you know, you and I talked before the show that Taylor mentioned that that a talk that you submit that has broad appeal is going to be more likely to be picked than something that is hyper-specific.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about soft talks then. What have been some of the standout soft talks, which are, I guess, yeah, by definition, we're saying are non-technical talks.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the best talks that you've seen that would be classified as soft talks that you think are really interesting for people?
Not specific talks, but there are two speakers that have given really good talks in the past that I would consider to be soft talks. Aaron Francis spoke at Laracon US last year. His talk is, you know, it is a deeply personal experience telling. You know, it's a story of how he put himself out there, how things didn't go his way, and it wasn't like the end of the road for him. For those of you who know who Aaron is, it was a stepping stone to the next thing. Jack McDade is another one that has given these kinds of talks in the past. These kinds of talks where it's talking about personal experience, it's talking about battling your own circumstances. Nina spoke last year at Laracon AU talking about, you know, her passion for programming, that her circumstance, where, like, purely by where she was born, you know, being born in Bosnia, being female growing up there, that she was just, that's not for you, you know, and being able to persist, like, those are the soft talks. There's also, like, these kinds of talks that straddle the two, where Padma spoke last year about accessibility, accessibility, really. In terms of UI user experience, in terms of how, you know, introducing friction into an application, like, that's a technical thing, user experience, but it's also getting into the mind of the user and why you would introduce friction. So, but yeah, commonly, right, we've got soft, we've got technical, we've got business. Like, those are the three main sort of Laracon talks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, regardless of the type of talk, in your opinion, what goes into making a good conference talk? And that can be as broad as you want. I've got some ideas. Is it based on the subject itself? Is it passion from the speaker about the subject? I'm sure it's a combination of the two. Is there anything else that makes a talk good?
The topic, the talk, is the hook, right? The title of your talk is the hook. For us, that's what we publish first. We publish the talk titles. We don't tell you who's speaking. We tell you what they're talking about. And so it's got to catch the eye. It's got to be thought-provoking. It might even be controversial. And a good talk at that point is just the title. It's probably partly the abstract, but the abstract doesn't have to be long. You don't have to have a talk. But for a talk to be good on a stage, you have to be energized. You have to have been practiced. You have to know what you're saying. You don't. And again, it's your perspective. So you need to back yourself in.
Yes.
And you need to believe every word that you're delivering on the stage. It's not about being right or wrong necessarily. It's about having energy and passion. And legwork and footwork. you get up there and you want to deliver. You're telling a story to the audience at that point. Even if it is code heavy, you don't want to get up there and just drone into the microphone and, you know, talk like this and say, I'm now going to show this thing. You don't need to say, I'm going to show this thing, okay? We're all in the room. We're looking at what you're doing. You need to do the thing. Explain what you've done. But not like, I'm going to show you this. We're going to talk about this, et cetera, et cetera. So energy and passion are the two main things. You know, be excited about what you're talking about. That's why I say, you know, when you are learning something is when you are most excited about it. And the excitement is contagious. The audience will feel the excitement if you're excited by it. If you're up there and you're like, I've been doing this for 10 years, I don't think there's much interesting about it, but I thought I might share it with you. Like, no, No, thank
Get
you.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And like it is hard. Like the amount of time that goes into trying to figure out like is and we love, don't get me wrong, we love to have new people speaking at Laracon AU. I think diversifying the speaker pool and not having just the same faces all the time is really important because it keeps things fresh. But it's also like a bit of a risk when you don't know, you know, who these speakers are, what they're going to do, what they're going to be like, which is, you know, somewhat selfishly another reason why we communicate so openly and frequently with our speakers to the point where I'm asking them, am I communicating too much? Because, you know, you really need to, you put faith in the 17-18 people that you put on stage that the audience is going to enjoy what they have to say.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I've been seeing in some of the Slack groups that we're in and speaking with some other people on Twitter that want to submit talks, but they're having trouble finding the topic, finding that hook. Do you have any suggestions on if someone is, and this was me actually, probably for like 6 months before I submitted for last year's Laracon. Mm-hmm. I sat there and I was like, I really want to speak. The first time I went to Laracon was 2019 and I completely missed the announcement for 2018. Otherwise, I would have gone. I found out about 2019. I was like, oh my God, I got to go to this. This is awesome. I got there. I was sitting in the audience and I was like, I wish I was up there, man. I could do this. I just didn't know what to talk about, mm-hmm. right? And then COVID hit. Then you announced 2023. And for the whole time that submissions were open, I was like, what the hell am I going to talk about? You know, I've got something to say, but I don't know what. I don't know what to talk about. Finally, I got it in, I think like a week before submissions closed or something like that. I got in a topic about webhooks, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for people like me that are in that situation right now, do you have any tips for them for how they can find a topic? Is it based on what they're passionate about? If anything, hopefully they are. But if not, maybe do they have a unique insight, you know, or have they worked on something that's been, maybe there's something interesting there in the last 6 months, you know, that they've worked on at work, you know? Do you have any other suggestions?
Mm-hmm. People often ask me this, like, what do I talk about? My perspective is I don't know. If I knew what to talk about, if I knew this kind of stuff, I would be speaking at a conference. I wouldn't be organizing it. I have the benefit of looking at a pool of submissions. And like I said, the title is the thing, right? I look at this list of submissions and I scan down the list and I tick, 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 nah, and I shortlist them, right? So it's the title that grabs me. I'm like, that's interesting. But you are right. It's the thing that excites you. It's everyone has a unique perspective. That's the thing about being human. We all have a unique perspective. We all have a unique take. And that's what you bring to the table. That's what you bring to the stage is your unique perspective. If you want to speak, but you find that you're trying to think, what do I speak about? I think you've slightly missed the mark in that, like, don't look at what you think would be good for other people. Think about what you can deliver that you believe in with your unique spin. And that, as you say, it could be something that you work on daily. It could be something that you've worked on for 5 years. And you, because you've been doing it for 5 years, number one, you are an expert in it. Number two, you are so numb to the perspective because you've been doing it for 5 years. That's the thing that you talk about because you could talk about it in your sleep. You know it like the back of your hand. So now it's a matter of distilling some bits and pieces. Like when you submitted the webhooks talk last year, you knew that you were in like the final three. I was trying to pick one out of the last three.
And that, like, was heartbreaking, by the way, sitting there watching you pick someone else. I was like, no.
And I told you that, you know, you have got to submit this talk again because it was so close to where we needed to fill a spot. And I don't remember, like, this probably burned into your brain. This is, but like, I don't honestly don't remember what the talk was that we picked instead, because a lot has happened since then. But that's something that no doubt is in your mind that has now spurned you on to submit again this year.
I do, but I won't say it. Let's keep it anonymous.
But like, I think you did say to me, I don't remember the talk, but you did say to me, like, that was a good talk. That was a good pick. So
it was a good talk. And that's me being humble and saying, yep, okay, you know, it's fine. I would have loved to have got my speaking career started last year, but you did pick a good talk. So, yeah, it's all water under the bridge. And it spurred me on to where I'm at now. Like, that is a large part of why I'm doing this. I'm recording the show and, you know, started putting myself out there on Twitter and all of that. Like, it has come from being rejected, which is interesting. You know, it's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, we have this a lot with my five-year-old at the moment, when, like, he can go from 0 to 100 very quickly when things don't go his way. Like, when things go his way, he loves it. But when things go against him, or he doesn't win, or he doesn't get something straight away, he just goes and gets really upset about it. And, you know, we calm him down and we bring him back and we're like, you know, you've just got to try again. You've got to dust yourself off. There's a saying which I will misquote, but it's like, if you fall down 7 times, you have to get up 8 times.
Yeah.
It's the getting up that we learn from. It's not the falling down. And so, yeah, it's not, we have 17, maybe 18 talk slots each year. We get orders of magnitude more submissions than we have talk slots. So it is very hard. So, you know, as I said, the title, the abstract, you don't have to have a talk. You've got months to put a talk together. You've got support of your peers. You've got support of the community. There are local meetups sprouting up all over the place now where you can go and practice these talks and get feedback and see if they resonate and adjust them and, like, you know, tweak them to something. Plenty of time to work on that. Don't worry about not having a talk. Just worry about having an idea and making sure that the idea is something that can hook interest and that you truly believe, okay, if this gets picked, can I give an engaging, exciting talk?
Yep.
That's what it boils down to. And, like,
yep,
how many people will get value from this talk?
Yeah, that sort of goes to the point of, you're right, we were talking about it before we started recording, but yeah, Matt and Taylor on a recent episode of the Laravel podcast, I'll link it in the show notes, but they were talking, well, specifically Taylor was talking about how he picks talks, and he made the suggestion there of pick a general kind of talk, like 10 ways to supercharge your Laravel development experience. That's going to apply to literally every person in the crowd, right? But he then brought up a more niche example, 10 ways to build iOS native apps using Swift, and that probably won't apply to everyone in a Laravel audience. So you do have to pick a talk that will meet the audience, definitely. But if you can try and find your own, try and find something from your own experience that would interest a large portion of the crowd, you know, you think will interest them. It sounds like that's the go. So you just got to dig deep and try and find something for it.
And not everything has to be new. Not everything has to be groundbreaking. It just has to be your unique perspective on something, that you are, as I said, passionate about, that you want to deliver, that you think, I can do this in a different way that hasn't been done before. I've got a different look, or a different outlook, or a different perspective, all of those synonyms for the same thing. But to drive home the point that, like, that's what it's about.
Yeah. Look, we've sort of danced around it a bit, but I recently submitted a few talks for Laracon Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I've submitted 3 so far, and I think that will be all. Since you and I have talked a little more, I think I've got my best submissions in. After thinking about the 3 submissions that I put in, I became extremely confident that a talk about building mobile apps and getting them to talk to a Laravel backend was the talk that I really wanted to give if I was to be selected. So I kind of got the feeling from you that you had like brushed this talk off. I didn't quite sell it in the with the title and the abstract. And after thinking about it, like I went away, I submitted those three talks before I went to Japan. I went on a two-week trip to Japan just recently. Mm-hmm. The whole time I was like, I was ruminating on this and I came back and I was energized and I was like, he's wrong. Like the expo, the mobile talk is the talk. And I could feel it. Like I know it in my heart of hearts that if I get selected, I'm going to deliver a really good talk. And I just have that confidence with this particular subject. So to try and change your mind, I recorded a 5-minute stream of consciousness. I just got out voice memo or whatever it is on my phone. I recorded, just said, hey, this is what I want to do. I think you're wrong. This is, you know, how I think the talk would play out and all the different points. I'll try not to spoil too much of it, but I sent it to you and I said, right, what do you think? And then I saw, you know, you were like, oh man, I've just shortlisted a bunch. This one didn't make the cut. Let me have another think about it. And then I felt pretty good later because I saw you tweeted about it. You put it on LinkedIn. You didn't say my name, which was a good call, but you were like, you know, just had someone send me a voice memo pitching their talk, you know, more than what you could do with the title and abstract to try and convince you it was the right one. Clearly, you didn't mind that approach, but in general, what do you think about sort of going above and beyond? If you feel really confident in a talk idea and you're maybe a little worried it's not going to get picked, what do you think about doing something like that?
Have you ever had a conversation with someone on Slack or Telegram or Messenger or whatever it is that you use, and the response that you've got back has interpreted what you've written in a way that you didn't mean at all?
Yeah.
That's sometimes what reading the abstracts can be like. It's like, it was, but as I said earlier, it's the passion. Like you put in the 5 minutes and, you know, obviously the 2 weeks of thinking about it before that to really think about this and really have the passion for it. And like we've talked about this, it is the passion for the topic. And I was like, mobile apps for Laravel seems fine. Like it's a thing. And like I know that there's always businesses out there that are like, we've got this web app, but like what if we had a mobile app? What if we put this on the tablet? What if we, you know, all of this stuff. So, you know, it's definitely something that comes up. Is it a huge part of the Laravel audience? No, I don't think so. But
I'm going to try and change that, by the way. Yeah. But yep.
But I think it is a big enough part of the audience that it is a niche that could be interesting, and your energy for the idea, you know, that you really believe that it can be done, that you can talk about all of this stuff in good detail, and that you can make it sell in 30 minutes on the stage, made me reconsider it. There's lots of, as I said, businesses out there that want to do that. There's lots of businesses that are like one or two developers that they're like, they're not going to have expertise in, you know, in Swift or in Kotlin or you know, whatever else. They're going to reach for something like React Native or whatnot to do these things because that's the tool chain that they have. And if there are ways that you can tie those things together, then, you know, you're giving people the tools. You're at least putting them in a direction. Like, this is a thing that I have done. These are the tools that I have used. The expertise and the experience that I have tells me that it can be done in an enjoyable way that, you know, you can use what you already know to deliver new and real value to the places that you already work. And so, for me, that fills the niche, that fills that, you know, checks that box for like, okay, assuming that we have this number of companies send this many people that are wanting to like find something that they can bring back to their business, this is the kind of talk that will check those boxes, that will make, you know, those people be able to go back to their employment and be like, hey, I learned this thing. Maybe we could explore this. So, yeah, passion, energy.
Yeah. And using your voice is such a superpower to be able to go, yeah, to rise above text. Or, you know, if I had a really pushed it, I would have recorded a little video, like a Loom video or something like that. Because then you can see someone's face, you know, as they're describing what they want to talk about and see that enthusiasm and all of that. Like, it really comes across. So is this something that you would want more people to do? Would you want to now all of a sudden receive a little voice recording with every talk? Or does that make it a bit too hard? What does that Maybe. Look like?
Maybe. I mean, I look, as easy as Laravel makes file uploads, I hate dealing with file uploads, but we could next year. I'm not going to do it now. But we could next year put in like a give us a 60-second spiel for your abstract. Mm. Like, just talk me through what you want. And it'll be like, either send the title and the abstract, or send the title and a voice thing and like sell it to me. I think that's probably asking too much of speakers to do it, like to enforce it. But certainly for those who feel like they can't get it across in text, yeah, I'd listen. I think that's fine. Using your voice is a really powerful tool, because I saw he's a vocal coach. I don't know what he's. So I saw this guy perform at the Adelaide Fringe Festival like 8 or 9 years ago as a mentalist and a magician, and he is now like an internationally renowned public speaking coach, does like all of this vocal training and things like that. And he like popped into my TikTok feed last year, and I've been following him on YouTube and picking up some of the stuff that he's doing and talking about, you know, that your voice is an instrument that you play. It's not a tool that you use. And it can convey so much just from the tone of your voice, from, you know, something that we typically do in Australia is we like end sentences on a high note, and it makes us sound like we're asking a question. Do we really believe what we're saying, or do we really believe what we're saying? You know, just the up talk, he calls it, just the inflection that goes up at the end of a sentence or goes down at the end of the sentence really changes the meaning of that. And like, that's something that you don't get in text. Text is just text. You can't convey emotion and context and all of that kind of stuff just in text. So, yeah. All right, maybe next year we do audio submissions. I'll only listen to the first 60 seconds, though. So don't send me like a, you know, 10-minute history of the world.
Did you listen to all of mine, or did you only do the first 60 seconds?
No. I listened to all of yours, only because it was the first one. If I got like heaps of 5-minute ones, I'd be like... Yeah, no. Tell me in 60 seconds or less. You know, every time there's like one of those competitions in 25 words or less, I'm like, oh, I just want to put my name and email address in a form. I don't want to put the effort in.
Yep.
Like, I'm interested to know like the kinds of people that win those things and what they're saying.
Mm, yeah. What does it take to win a competition like that? Yeah, 100%. Well, maybe you could, for the voice recording things, maybe you could then have it transcribed. And then you get best of both worlds.
That's right. But, and scan it and say, okay, what does this sound like? How have they presented this message?
Yeah. Just got to have the confidence.
Food for thought.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so let's say that your talk idea gets picked, right? So you've gone through all of this, the prospective speaker, talk gets picked, and now you need to actually start prepping the talk. So on this timeline, am I right? Just correct me if I'm wrong. Are you are you telling people who has been selected by the end of May? Is that right?
Yeah. If you've been selected to speak, we'll let you know by the end of May, end of this month.
Cool.
And so you've got June, July, August, September, October, five months and 1 week.
Yeah.
To work on that talk. Don't leave it to the last 2 weeks, please.
I'm very hopeful, so I already got started on my talk. But we'll see. There's no guarantees in life. So let's say your talk did get picked. You've now got 6 months to start prepping. So Should you be thinking about how to tailor the content of your talk to your audience? Because you mentioned before, there will be some people that will have maybe given this talk before, maybe in different audiences. Like, does that really come into play? Are you, would you be suggesting that?
It depends on the audience. If you, and this is the thing, it is hard for me to get someone who spoke at Laracon AU or someone who speaks at Laracon US to come to Laracon AU and give the same talk, right? Because all eyes are on those conferences. Now, we've asked Taylor in the past, and we've asked Laracon EU people in the past, to like, hey, can you not publish this specific talk until after Laracon AU? Because we want people to experience it. It's not fair on this. Like, it's easy on the speaker because they get to give the same talk again. They get to augment it. They get to improve it, whatever. Yes. But it's not fair on the speaker to give a talk to the same audience in a different part of the world, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're taking a talk, we've done it in the past where we've had people from NDC or Web Directions or whatever bring that same talk. Like, I've sought those people out because there's not a lot of overlap in those communities. But they do a good job of adapting the talks. It's important that, like, you don't just give a generic talk unless it is, you know, is the kind of thing that can be generic. You want to tailor it a little bit. My advice in terms of putting a talk together is to just spend the first 2, 3, 4 weeks just writing notes down. Just when you're out walking the dog, when you're, you know, on your morning commute, if you still go to an office on the, you know, on the train or whatever, just jot notes down. Just write things down. Open up Apple Notes. It's fine. And just put everything down. Doesn't have to be in any coherent order. Doesn't have to have any structure. It's just, here are all of the thoughts that I've had on this topic. This, and for context, this is how I put together my welcome address last year. It was just over a period of 2-3 months on my morning walks, just writing things down. Random tweets that I saw, random ideas that I had, just putting them all in there. And really, like, I didn't start putting my slides together until 6 weeks before the conference. But I'd been going over in my head for 2-3 months beforehand. Okay, this is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to say. I've got to... And I didn't even know how all of the bits fit together. I just had like a whole bunch of ideas. And it was not until I threaded the needle through, you know, once you have everything, you can kind of figure out, all right, don't need this. This, you know, you can see the patterns. Here's the line through the mark. And then you can start kind of structuring things and figuring out how you want to tell that story and the order that you want to tell that story. So I think, you know, that's the way that I approach it, is just ideas, dot points, random thoughts here and there. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you'll come back to that after 4 months, after 4 weeks of like just jotting ideas down and going, well, what was I thinking there? Like, I don't even know what this is. So you've got to be careful to like provide enough context to come back to it. But that's I think a good way of nutting it out over yeah, a period sure. of time. And as we say, you've got 5 and a bit months to work on it. I know that conference speakers have spent hours and hours and hours putting the talk together, talking, you know, practicing the talk, writing it, testing it. It's an hour long. I need to cut half of it, scrapping it, starting again. The thing with all of this work is that you really, really hone the message. You really yes. figure out what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. I did the announcement video for the conference last week and I did 58 takes of the opening 2 sentences, partly because I was scripting on the fly, partly because I forgot how to speak English, but it's in doing that it becomes organic and you practice it so much that even though you know exactly what you're going to say, it's like acting, right? They practice those lines over and over and over again. They work on the intonation and the, you know, when they're going to inflect, well, you know, the inflection and the intonation and how they're going to say the things, and they know where they're at and how, and it comes out on stage when you've really nailed that message. You know exactly what you're going to say and how you're going to say it.
How should speakers handle their nerves? If they are people that get nervous, right? And some people are just very naturally gifted with public speaking, doesn't make them nervous. But if you're not so gifted in that, have you got any advice on how to overcome that?
My number one piece of advice of something not to do is to not drink. Please do not get on stage inebriated. I have heard from a number of people that do get a bit nervous. And this makes sense to me as a clown who gets on stage and just starts talking, is to script your first 2 or 3 minutes. You'll practice it over and over and over and over again, and you'll memorize it. But once you get on stage, you will find that, like me in front of a camera, you forget how to speak English. And so having on your speaker notes the exact words that you are going to say, and you, because you're focusing on your speaker notes, on the comfort monitors, whatever, you're not going to see the audience, and you'll find yourself into the groove. You're like, yes, I know I've practiced this 1,000 times. I know what I'm going to say. I know how I'm going to say it. Those are the words right there. Once you get past those first 2-3 minutes and the adrenaline dies off and you realize I can't actually see the audience, it's just blinding lights in my face, I think that's the best way to get through those nerves.
Off to the races. I recently, February now, so 3 months ago, I spoke for the very first time at a Sydney meetup. Mm-hmm. So not quite the same scale as a Laracon, but I think there are about 20 people there. Mm-hmm. I've spoken about it previously on this show, and it went really well. It surprised me with how quickly I just was like, yep, let's just do this. Like I was on the road, you know. Mm-hmm. The pedal was down, and that was really good. I made sure that I went, and I used Matt and Taylor's advice from that same episode. They said, go and speak at a local meetup. I said, cool, let's do it. I reached out to the Sydney organizers. I said, right, this is roughly what I want to do. He said, cool, yep, let's do it. And then that talk was a very like demo heavy talk. It was about AWS, and I actually then submitted it to Laracon for you. Mm-hmm. And about it was 10 plus dope things you can add to your Laravel app right now using AWS. And I walked through, I think there were 18 things, and it was meant to be a 30 minute talk, and I took about 50 minutes. So you rightfully messaged me after and were like, dude, you got to chop that down, like mm-hmm. make it 7 things, which was a good call. But anyway, I was a bit nervous about giving the talk, but I had done public speaking as a kid and, like, you know, having meetings at work and stuff like that. Like, I'm generally okay. I don't turn into a puddle. But as I was like driving into this meetup, I was like, man, I hope that just the juices start flowing and that it all goes well, because I hadn't given myself a ton of time to practice. I didn't put the practice time. But I knew the subject material really well, because we use AWS all the time with work, and we were literally using, I think, about 15 of those 18 things that I demoed are like functionality mm-hmm. that we have used on our own projects. So I really knew the stuff. And so once I got in and got going, it was just like, yep, this is really fun. And I just had an absolute ball with it. So I just want to say, from my perspective as a new speaker, go do that. Go do small scale meetups where there's a lot less pressure. You still want to do a really good job, give it mm-hmm. your all, but like, if you mess up, it's a heck of a lot less embarrassing than, you know, applying for your very first time speaking ever at a conference with 300 attendees. I think you'll thank yourself for doing it a few times earlier. And if I am selected, I may go back and speak again at, you know, a smaller meetup and run the new material just to make sure that it hits right, you know. So yeah, that might be something that you can do to manage nerves. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so getting to our last few questions on this, based on the type of talk, what are some of the differences in how you might prepare and deliver a technical talk versus a soft talk? You might have live coding or live demos of written code, which is what I just did in that AWS talk. You could have slides, and those slides might have lots of text versus just like the headlines and then actually speaking out what you're trying to say, or personal stories, like you said. Is there anything else in there that you want to touch on about different delivery mechanisms for getting your message across?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on the main ones. I think live coding on a stage in front of 300, 400, 500, 900 people is the hardest thing you're going to do. If you've ever tried to like type pair programming with someone that you know and you work with on a daily basis, you'll find just how quickly you forget to type. Now put yourself on the stage facing 300 people and figure out like you lose the ability to type. If you get something wrong, you suddenly lose the ability to debug, and you just
gone.
It is a very difficult thing to do, and it is even harder to do it well. And there are very few people. Nuna does it really well. Taylor does it really well. Adam Wathen, when he used to give talks, did it really well. Caleb Porzio does it really well. It is the kind of thing that even with dozens or even hundreds of hours of practice, it is still like all it takes is one slip up, one typo that you don't see, and it becomes really challenging. The audience I have found by and large at Laracon, whether here or abroad, is very supportive and they want you to succeed. No one's going to sit there and laugh at you in my experience. No one's going to sit there and point the finger or anything like that. People will shout out, you missed a semicolon. You've got a typo over there, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I think if you're a first-time speaker, do not under any circumstances attempt to do a live coding talk.
But they're the fun ones. Right. It's hard mode.
But if you want to see a good example of how you can put code on the screen in an engaging way, have a look at the talk that my buddy Jake Bennett did at Laracon US last year, right? We the State Machines talk that he did. He was going to live code it, and we said, no, don't put the stress on yourself. Take all that code, put it into Keynote. You can, like with Keynote, you can paste real RTF text in there so you can get all your syntax highlighting and stuff. And when you're putting code into a slide, unless you are specifically talking about types, or you know you need that context for whatever reason for what you're presenting, omit them. Don't use keywords. You know, don't have to put public function. You know, open parentheses, typed. You know, user dollar user return void. Like none of that matters in the context of a talk, right? You are presenting an idea. You're not presenting functional code. You're trying to say, you know, this is how a state machine works. It doesn't matter that this is a user model, that this is a returning a user resource or whatever else. You're trying to convey a message. And so when you can remove as much of like the Jeffrey Way term, visual debt, right? The visual noise, right? None of that. You want people to focus only on what you're telling them. You don't need them to focus on whether it's syntactically correct or perfectly formatted or whatever. No, look here at these three lines of code at what we're trying to achieve. I think that is a really good approach because no one's going to run that code. Like code doesn't compile. It doesn't get executed by PHP. It's just presentational. So, and it like takes a huge load off your shoulders to just show the code rather than having to try and type the code. You can do, I don't remember who it was that gave a talk, but like they just copy-pasted stuff from their speaker notes into like do that if you want to. Or the Taylor Otwell, you know, scroll the routes file. Mm-hmm. Like that's a pretty powerful approach if you're wanting to show off some ideas in a browser. In terms of a soft talk, practice it. Practice the intonation. Practice the delivery. Practice the inflection and when you're going to say what and how and practice your pauses and, you know, leave gaps in your presentation. silence is a really good way to let your audience think about what you've just said and absorb it. It's also a really good way to cover up a mistake, right? If you use silence as a way to communicate through your talk, when inevitably you lose your place or you forget what you were going to say, you can naturally pause because you've been doing it through your whole talk. So even for technical talks, leaving gaps, you don't have to fill every second of your 30 minutes with words, unless you're Matt Stauffer, in which case he crams 60 minutes of talking into a 30-minute slot.
He's a machine.
Those are my three bits of advice for those three types of topics. I've done meetup talks. You know, I used to run the Adelaide PHP meetup. And so when we got no speakers, it was me at, 2 o'clock on the afternoon of the meetup throwing something together. So I'm very good at what was I working on today? Yep, that sounds like a good talk topic. But those from the talks that, and I have watched a lot of talks because I do end up going, and like I said, when you're bringing a new person in to speak, you go and try and see as much as you can. Have they presented anywhere? Have they presented this topic? Have they presented other topics? What are they, how do they convey their message? That kind of stuff. So those are the three topics. Those are the kinds of things that I kind of look for in terms of presentation to see if I think that it has been a successful talk. We've been very fortunate, Laracon, that we always get lots of high quality talks. And because there's lots of high quality talks, that's a reinforcing mechanism that each cohort of speakers that comes through, irrespective of which Laracon it is, wants to put on a good talk, because there is, a perception of quality being up here. So people will put in the effort. They will spend the time. They will, like Greg does, write and rewrite and rewrite his talks and practice and cut and cull and whatever else over a period of time. You have ample opportunity to do that. And, we had speakers in the wings in the backstage area, like all cheering each other on, gearing each other up to go out like you're about to talk. They're standing in the wings when you came off the stage. Like, it's a very supportive, it's a shared, like I said, it's unique to each person, but it's a shared experience. And it's, you're always going to have the other speakers, I think, in your corner, especially at Laracon AU. Like, it's almost a requirement at this point.
There's some really great advice in there. I think you've covered all the different types of talks, different ways that you might want to present it there. And this has been really insightful as a hopeful Laracon Australia speaker. So why don't we wrap it up there? Thank you for your time. We're going to do another recording probably later because this one's gone on a bit long. But we are going to go through about how you actually organized Laracon Australia, how it came to be. So keep an eye on your feed for that one. Yeah, just thank you, Michael. This has been really awesome and super insightful.
No worries. Thanks.